Welcome to the Projector Movement Podcast, the ultimate mystery school for projectors, weaving astrology, holistic psychology, and earth-based ritual to empower you to step into your role as a guide for the future. This is for you, the 20% of the world that's inherently different than everyone else. We're projectors, we're different, and we love it.
Hello, projectors. Charlie here with my lovely wife, Sarah, both projectors. And Sarah's got a trusty hat on today. She loves her hats. So thank you for bringing that along into the meeting, Sarah. And welcome.
Thank you. I'm calling in the fall vibes right now, wanting to feel that cool, crisp morning where we can have a warm, yummy drink. Just sounds so lovely.
There we go. For those of you back in Australia, because I'm from Australia, it wouldn't really make sense, but here in California, things are starting to wind down a little bit. So yes, today we wanted to talk about, we've got this question many times, how did you two meet? April 15th, 2023, we got married here in California. Then we went on a two-month honeymoon back to Australia and then Bali. So we've had a big year of many blessings, and we met back in 2019. And many people have asked, how did you meet? How does a projector meet a projector? Who invited who? who cheated? Who really did the invitation here? And we'll leave that one up to you, who actually invited who. That is the ultimate question. We wanted to start maybe just giving a tiny little background as to my journey a little bit, and then Sarah's journey leading up to 2019. So with your permission, Sarah, yes. Shall I begin?
Of course.
She's very kind. So all the way back to 2010, maybe I started to get really into health because I was quite sick, and my journey started back then. So 13 years ago. And it included things like healthy foods, raw foods, fasting. Then I started to get a lot into beliefs and thought patterns. And I lived in an ashram in India for 4 months. I did a lot of meditation, a lot of yoga. There was time periods I was doing 4 to 8 hours every day for months on end. I did 3 Vipassanas, multiple week water fasts. And I'd still be living at home at the time. And every week I'd find this new thing that I thought this was the next thing. And I'd take it to the Monday night dinner with mum and dad and my two younger brothers. And I'd genuinely be like, this is the cure all. And I had some pretty crazy things on that list. It's 50 to 100 things, I think. Week after week, I'd genuinely be like, this is the thing that is going to shift me. And ultimately, there was something that I was feeling like I was lacking. I was heavy, I was sick. And I went to Bali for the first time, 2013. And that's where I found out about human design. I'd just done a 10-day silent meditation retreat, straight into a 2-week water fast. And in this water fast, someone who I knew back in Ubud brought a booklet that was like a super old school human design booklet, and it was these charts. And that was the first time I discovered I was a projector and about human design. And then since then, I've continued to align myself more to how projectors are ultimately here to live. And things have opened up in a very magical way for me in terms of invitations. And one of those invitations, joint invitations, mixed invitations, was for Sarah and I. And you'll hear about that soon, how we came together. But when we start to embody what it is to be a projector, life can bring a lot of magical things, Sarah being the most magical thing that has come into my life. And our journey has unfolded since 2019. Mm-hmm. So also I also had done 10 years ago, I'd done some ceremonies, and that will also come together in this story as Sarah shares her story. When I was about 21, I did multiple ceremonies, and I won't go into full details, but healing ceremonies, and I was very drawn to these ways as well, but I never fully pursued it. I more went the meditation, yoga, wellness, emotional somatic route, not so much the ceremonial route. Mm-hmm. But then in walked Sarah to my life in 2019. So Sarah, let's hear about a bit about your journey pre-2019.
How much time do we have? No, I'm just kidding. I'll be brief.
The time's 1:11 right now.
So. Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah, before I start, I just want to comment, and I think for the, You got it. Got in there.
For those of you listening on the podcast, we are showing some videos in this, and I just put my phone up 1:11, but there'll be some videos throughout, and this is a video that we'll also put on YouTube. So if you are listening on the podcast, feel free to jump on the Project the Movement YouTube and check out more of the footages from this story.
Yes. So I just wanted to highlight, because there's a similarity in your story that I think many projectors can relate to, which is this desire to find something, a healing path, or the quick fix, or just something to fill some vacancy within, but not knowing exactly what the vacancy is. And I too have had many, this is the thing. And then no, this one's the thing. So I just, my story as well kind of has that sort of theme to it. But so how did I end up where I'm sitting right now? I graduated with my undergraduate degree in family studies and human development, focusing on psychology, and then went into the total opposite career, which was pharmaceutical sales, in 2003, and stayed in that very generating job for 10 years. And that job was totally inundated with sickness, mental, physical, spiritual. And I knew day one, my splenic authority spoke to me. I knew day one of that job that this wasn't what I was here to do, and this isn't for you. But it took me 10 years to take the leap of faith and leave it. And it was life speaking to me through a fractured back that had me literally stop everything I'm doing. And I got really clear in those moments. I had just finished a yoga training, actually, and couldn't teach yoga, couldn't do anything, and took the leap of faith and moved up north, quit my job, and enrolled at the California Institute of Integral Studies up in San Francisco with the master's in East-West psychology. So I entered that program, and I entered it thinking I was going to be a somatic therapist, bringing in yoga philosophy with Western psychology, and life had other plans. And I feel like that was the start of me beginning to see life speak to me in a different way and trusting those signs, versus me figuring out exactly what I was going to do and following that. And through this CIIS, this program, I was introduced to plant medicine, indigenous tradition, ancient wisdom from traditions all over the world. And my entire being lit up. And I was also able to study the different plant medicines clinically in an academic setting. So my previous career in pharmaceutical sales actually came in handy, which I thought I would never do anything like that. I did my thesis on the plant medicine from the Amazon combo, which is a frog. It's a very powerful detoxing medicine. And I worked with other medicines as well. And I graduated in 2016. So through CIIS, I was introduced to human design as well. I wasn't so fully in it when I was in college for the 2 years I was there, but soon after, as I began to work as a professional and I started having a holistic spiritual counseling practice, as well as working with Combo, I was noticing that I was pretty much acting like I was still in pharmaceutical sales. My mindset was very generator based, and I was go, 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 and starting to get really sick again and super frustrated because I'm like, what the heck? Like, I'm finally like really passionate about what I'm doing, yet I'm getting totally like annihilated energetically. And I actually was in Boulder, not knowing Charlie at the time, attending a community ceremony up in that area. And the woman next to me asked if she could do my human design chart. And she told me I was a projector and was like, oh my gosh, you have to find out more about this. This is really going to change your life. And she was right. And from that moment on, I discovered the projector movement, and that's how there was a bridge between our worlds.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And at that time, I was living in Boulder. So there's an Australian living in Boulder. It's a unique one. And yeah, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So I started the projector movement. I'd known about human design 2013. Then 2017, I lived in Bali for a year. And the seeds started to come in around creating something for projectors. I had my own personal YouTube and I was doing my own coaching. But I was like, this is really where I want to be. This is deeply resonant to me. But then it sort of just went on the back burner a little bit. And then 2018, back in Bali for 2 months, and I was there with my best friend, and I had a dream on an island called Gili Air, and it said, now's the time to share this specific video on your YouTube about human design and open yourself up to these energies that want to come through around human design projectors. And I did that, and they were these mini readings that I opened up, and I just remember like hundreds of people booking in. I was relaxing while I was in Bali. And then as soon as I put that video out, it turned into more of a work trip. But they, you know, I've got strong Saturn, I've got strong Capricorn, and sometimes there is deep commitment needed for building big roots and making big change. So fast forward to the end of 2018, and that's when I birthed the projector movement, the Ultimate Projector Guard. Came to America a couple of months later, and then I heard from you around July, August 2019, and you reached out for an intro call, and you were just super fascinated about projectors. And at the time I was doing intro calls, and so it's just like, you know, okay, Sarah Lohman signed up, here we go. Didn't know you're my future wife. I wish that was recorded, that call, to see if there was anything intuitively that we looked at each other in an interesting way or not. But yeah, that was just the beginning conversation. And I can't remember exactly, but I think we had a few more conversations and we realized how our lives were so intertwined, you know, with me with ceremony and then coming in and you having a deeper understanding of ceremony, and you with human design and me having a deeper understanding of human design projectors at the time, and us really offering a lot to each other and blending our energies. And I don't know when, but maybe it was a month later, 6 weeks later, that we talked on the phone. We actually talked on the phone, and it started to become a bit more friendship and reciprocal, and you know, just a bit more informal. And I just remember those calls would go for 4 or 5 hours, and I used to think to myself, what are you doing, Charlie? Like, this can't be happening. You know, when I was 16, 17, I used to speak to some girls, you know, on the phone after school or whatever, and maybe they'd go for like 90 minutes or 2 hours, and it was like huge. I was like, wow. And here I was, that's never happened, 4 or 5 hour conversations. And Sarah and I obviously were just very much aligned, and our souls were speaking in a deep way. And from my memory, Xavier Wright is an artist from Australia, and I know him and Sarah knows him. And I was like, oh, maybe Xavier Wright's playing. And I saw one of his friends, Narco, Medicine for the People, was playing in Boulder. And I knew Sarah had come out to Boulder once or twice. And as a bit of a joke, a bit of a playful joke, I was like, oh, do you want to come out here and see Narco? Narco's actually playing in Boulder. Sarah was like, oh, I've got a... You were holding an event or I think a combo ceremony in LA at that time. And to my great pleasure and surprise, you replied back within a couple of minutes, Narco's also playing in LA, Charlie. You could always come to LA. And I replied, sounds good. I'll be there.
Which I was shocked that that actually was more like a playful, maybe it was both. You know, there was like, oh, when you said you would, I was like, oh, shoot, that's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm in Boulder. I can't remember, maybe a 2 hour flight or something like that. And so there was a date. There was a date for, I think, the 16th of November, something like that, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Narco was playing in LA, and I booked a flight and we arranged for 4 days. So yeah, I'll come for 4 days. We'll see you. Okay.
Yeah, first you're missing the magical piece.
Oh, I remember it now. The animal piece. Go for it.
So, I go through waves in life of working with different decks, sometimes at tarot cards, and sometimes I work with them, sometimes I don't. And this was in around this time I was in a definite deep relationship with the Native American animal totem cards. And 2 years in a row, so the year of 2018 and 2019, I'll always around the new year pick an oracle card. And in frustration, 2 years in a row, I got the animal I was working with was the coyote. And,
you know, we don't want to hate on the coyote.
No, the coyote is amazing. But in the traditions, some of the native traditions I've worked in, the coyote in the Native American tradition is the trickster medicine, heyoka, if you will. It's the coyote can play tricks on others and also sometimes trick itself in the process. And I was doing a combo ceremony, I think around this time as well. And I had the deck out, and when you decided you were going to come to Narco, I had pulled just a card for the day. And around that time it was the coyote again. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, like, is this a joke? You know, are you trying to tell me something about, you know, Charlie coming? Charlie's younger than me. I had been single for quite some time. Is there some red flags? He's from Australia. Like, there was a lot of fear around, you know, coming back into this connection or exploring it even, because it just didn't seem realistic. And so shortly after that day, I think before, so I pulled the card, and then I think I spoke to you. So I have
a... We're on the phone, and Sarah's like, oh, I pulled this card when I put it in 2018. I was like, fine. 2019 comes around, and I pull it, and she said she threw it across the room. She's like, no, and I don't want to be tricked anymore. I'm done with this trickster medicine. And then that day she picks it again when I booked my flight, and she's like, you've got to be kidding. Like, what is this? And then, so she's telling me this on the phone, and I'm like thinking, like, shit, this is like no joke, because I have one tattoo on my body, and that tattoo is a coyote.
So for those on the podcast, I just showed the picture of the card that I pulled, and now I'm showing a picture of Charlie's coyote tattoo.
So and I won't show it in real life, but that's right here on the side of my body.
And I'm going to show you right here. There's the date when he showed this to me. And if you can see, it's October 26th, 5:36 p.m. I've shown Charlie about the card. He then shows me he has the tattoo.
So this is in 2019. And then I hear from Sarah about 2 hours later. And she's like, you're not going to believe this. Like, this is crazy. She was walking her joint dog called Shaggers. Her parents actually look after it most of the time, but Shaggers was with her at the time, and she was walking Shaggers around the block. And she calls me like, what is going on? What is going on? Look at this, look at this. And then, what did you find on your walk? this is pretty like, no joke.
This was like one of those moments. And I think, again, projectors, like when you have these moments with the divine or with creation or synchronicity or God, you have this just internal knowing. Oftentimes I get like goosebumps. I was walking Shaggers, as Charlie said, and I looked on the ground and I saw this piece of bark, and I like thought it looked like a coyote or a wolf. And I just like kept walking. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, just keep going. And like, stop trying to find so many messages everywhere. And literally, I swear to God, my dog turned around back to go and sniff this piece of bark. And now again, I'm going to show a picture of it to show you that I am really not making up at all, that this picture on October 26th, an hour after Charlie showed me his tattoo, this is at 6:25. The other picture was at 5:38. There is...
Give me a second, because I'm going to see if I can find it.
Okay. There it is.
In real life. Hang on. You can keep going.
So there's kind of, you know, as we're kind of figuring out like who invited who, there was a lot of life kind of giving us these signs. But I will say, because it, you know, if it was a hummingbird sign or a lion or, you know, anything other than the coyote, but the coyote in my own, you know, mind, it's like, is life trying to tell me this is a trick, or is this a treat? Is this aligned? But did you find it?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. It's a little surgery, but it's still, we still have the
tongue and the eye is gone. We've had it actually displayed a lot.
On our altar. Yeah.
So here is the coyote from 2009. The real bark with all the little things still on it.
The coyote went blind. Yeah.
That was the eye.
No, baby, the eyes are right here. There was a slant. Yeah.
But this was also Dion, I guess.
I'll put up the original so you can see it.
The original was no joke. Look at that.
Like, you can't even think that it's not a wolf. It's like totally, it's a coyote. Yeah. So that was just, you know, life kind of speaking to us in these ways. And
so then
now we can enter into, we have the trip, and
November 14th is when I booked my flight. The plan was 4 days. So we're going to go to the concert. Hang out, meet. Then Sarah, before I came, goes, maybe it was after the coyote. It was after the coyote. I don't know if it was because of that, probably not. But you were like, maybe stay 8 days. You know, we can go to Lake Arrowhead as well for a few days. My family has a little cabin up there. Let's do like, you know, half the time in Long Beach and then half the time in Lake Arrowhead. I was like, wonderful, let's do 8 days. So yeah, we're not going to explain everything that happened on every day, but here we are on day 8 and we're in Lake Arrowhead. And I think my flight, let's say, was at 2 p.m. or something, and I get in the car at like 9 a.m., pack the car. It had snowed like a little bit. So this is in November. like this much, like not really, like some flakes. And the car literally would not go. Like the tires were just spinning. And it was like, wow, we're really being snowed in with this much snow. Like the car's not moving. It was a two-wheel drive. It just was not moving.
You even went out there and shoveled the 2 inches of snow. I'm going to see if I think I have a picture.
No, that was a few days later when it actually snowed more.
Got it. Okay.
And then I actually got us out. But the first day that we couldn't go was like tiny.
Got it.
But then it did snow for a few days after that. And then I was like, okay, I'm shoveling like 200 meters of like.
Here.
Yeah, I really got the shovel in there.
You were.
I was letting you know that I was a real man out there in the snow shoveling, and
yeah. I will say, and I'm going to say this in full transparency. Secretly, I was like, maybe he's saying that we can't get out because he actually really wants to stay, and I'm totally going to go for it if he does. So, but just we'll continue the story because that was kind of the first.
As in, if I said it didn't move because I wanted to stay, you wouldn't have been like, oh, let me check. You'd be like, totally.
I'd be like, totally, just stay a little longer.
Got it.
But no, it really did. It really did. It really didn't go.
Maybe if I'd like put a lot of like pieces of wood and like tried to get traction for like 2-3 hours, maybe we could have got there, but it just wasn't happening. So anyway, we're back in Long Beach. 14 days now together. So we've been together for 14 days because I'd rebooked my flight then for 14 days from 8 to 14. Wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. The flight, let's say, is at 8 or 9 a.m. Turn on my phone. Big alert notification. Denver Airport has been closed. The whole international airport is closed.
Due to COVID.
What?
No.
What did she say?
Wasn't it because of snow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blizzards. Yeah. The weather. So the whole airport closed. So I couldn't get on that flight. So rebooked for 21 days, ended up at Sarah's family's Thanksgiving. and then we flew back. And as we were saying, wait. Sarah, actually, go ahead.
Sorry. I'll just say this. Like, if you can imagine, Charlie's from Australia. There, I don't think there's a Thanksgiving dinner, or there may be something similar, but there's not Thanksgiving the way that Americans do Thanksgiving. And on top of that, the way that my loving family does Thanksgiving. And here I am bringing my Charlie, who I've just met, who I haven't told anyone in my family about. I just kept everything really private. We've got a new guy coming to the family Thanksgiving dinner. And I was just like, oh my God, this is just out of control right now. So yeah, within a few weeks of meeting each other, he's attending family Thanksgiving.
And then shortly after that, Sarah has some retreats, or she holds Combo back in Boulder. And, you know, that's where she found out about human design partly as well. And so that's where I was living at the time. So we actually took the same flight back to Boulder. Sarah was holding a combo retreat or a combo ceremony. I supported on that ceremony. Sarah stayed in my apartment there. So we ended up spending 30 days, 30 nights together when it was originally going to be 4. And there was some very powerful synchronistic moments that just had us stay together. Life was like, you're not getting out of this one, staying together. And I think a few weeks later, I surprised Sarah at her family Hanukkah party. Surprised her there. It was about 50 people. That was just walked in a bit oblivious Australian. And
that was a 3-5 move, everybody, because the family Thanksgiving dinner was still a big event, but, you know, maybe 15 people, but around the table. But my family has a tradition of a Hanukkah party where it's very loud personalities. And Charlie comes in with his acid wash jeans and like this button up shirt. And I think This was his own coyote move. I think he tricked himself on that one. He was totally able to handle Thanksgiving, but then all of a sudden he's getting beelined by my uncles, my cousins, questions. It was so intense, but he handled it beautifully. And yeah, it was definitely something though that was not out of the norm of when you date someone for a while and introduce them to the family after some time has gone by. This was pretty quick.
And then there was a conversation, one of Sarah's older cousins, you know, if he ever watches this, we all love each other, it's all good. But at that time, he just met me, and he potentially cares about, you know, what you do and who you are and your living. I'm a bit more, I don't really put too much precedence on this. And if someone asks me what I do, so it's a pretty casual response. I just share what I feel like I want to share in that moment. And I'd never said this before, but I was just sort of having a bit of fun. And I was like, he's like, so what do you do? And I was like, I'm an astrologer. And he literally like looks at me. He's like, and then just like V lines and like walks off. Sarah's like, oh my God, like you've ruined
it. I'm already the black sheep of my family. And I'm like, and of all the people to say you're an astrologer to, which at the time was not something you identified as, I'm like crazy. But I will say, I think that was some truth speaking through you because of your, like this passion that's been coming through you over the last year or two has actually been deeply astrology based. So there was truth coming through you in that moment.
Totally. And not that it matters, but no, astrology has been a part of my life for a while, but it was in 2020 that I was guided deeply to go a lot deeper into astrology and the transits and to work with the energetics and frameworks of what's happening in the moment. And we've done some ceremonies on specific time points, and you know, it's powerful portals open up when you know how to read the energetics of astrology. And the human design is just that. It's just astrology. It's the positions of the planets in the sky, but it just goes a bit deeper and then segments them into gates, into channels, into centers, overlays them on the body graph. But it's literally just the positions of the sky. So it is. So I guess I could have, you know, been an astrologer back then, but that was an interesting moment and big night. And then, yeah, I stayed here. I went to Hawaii for a week or two, came back, and Sarah and I spent another week or two together. Went back to Boulder because I still had my apartment. I was planning to be there for another 6 months, but intuitively I just felt like maybe I really need to be in California. And about 5 days before the lockdowns, didn't know about, you know, COVID or the lockdowns, and I moved to California. So I officially relocated, and a few days later we were locked down, and here we are, locked in.
Yeah, that was either going to work or it wasn't. There's crazy timing that we survived that together. I'm going to just ask a couple questions. I might try to answer some too myself, but for people listening at our projectors, what do you feel people would like love to know about just like dating a projector or initiate? Like, what do you think that would be supportive for people to know about waiting for the invitation, these sorts of things?
So yeah, maybe not dating a projector, because that's only 20% of the population. So, but being a projector who you are, how do you date or how do you move into relationship? That's one part. And then how do you deepen a relationship if you're already in a relationship as a projector? For me, always my relationships begun, because I've been in multiple relationships and some long-term relationships, and every relationship that I've gone into has been in a moment in my life where I've been quite expansive and I've been deeply following my passions, my purpose. So my vibration has been high. You know, Sarah, who you've met, my ex-partner Kelly, met in Bali when I was there for my purpose, my mission, my health, yoga, there was this expansion happening just within me. And in those moments, that's where. So, you know, if I was back in Melbourne and I was just sort of doing the same thing, not feeling that good, trying to go to like a bar or a club, trying to meet someone, like there's no chance I would that would work out for me. So it's always been following my passion, and in those moments, opening up to life. You know, mm-hmm. I've got one channel, the channel of transformation. I love personal development. And, you know, it could be at a workshop that, you know, I meet someone it's really like expansive experience or whatever it is. But I would say I found my alignment when I focused on myself, and there was 4 years in my life that I was single deliberately, consciously, and I just focused on myself.
Mm-hmm.
On my health, on my well-being, on my spirituality, on my routines, on my rhythms. So I think that is important. Do you have anything to add, or what would you say?
Yeah, I would say when I started to walk more consciously towards my true self. So the people I chose to date when I was in pharmaceutical sales and trying to fit into that mold of life were very, very different. And they didn't work out, the relationships I had then. I probably was dating more for a societal standard and try to check a box, you know, see it married, that whole thing. And then when I fractured my back and moved up north and really my true self slowly emerged over time and my passions and my purpose, the relationships that I had at that time also had a similar vibration and interest as well. And then I think that's why moving into our connection, there was already so much overlap and similarity and truthfully a shared vision for what our souls wanted to do together. We've already been walking individually, but then together there was a lot of overlap, and I've learned quite a bit from you. I know you've learned quite a bit from me. So it was like a soul calling, a soul connection. So yeah, that's what I would say as well. And yeah.
Then being in relationship, if you're a projector in relationship.
Being a projector in relationship, I guess I can just share some tips or some insights. One is I think it's super important that each, like for us, for example, we're two projectors. We really need to have our own outlet for work. We do work like this overlap together, but there's also things we do separate. So each person can feel seen in their unique gifts, and they don't feel, you know, below the other person, or kind of their light is dim. I feel that, you know if you're obviously, if you're listening, you're a projector, whether you're dating a generator, a manifestor, a reflector, or a projector, we're intense. And our aura, like we're always, we can see so deeply in the other. And often, I know we both have reflected this to each other in relationship. We're not wanting to be seen so deeply. It's like, let's, you know, I don't know if we can take our eyeballs out, but let's consciously just live in the moment and play and not have to go so deep. And projectors, we really can do that, or we can, you know, see all of things in the other person that they might not see and want to point them all out. And we have to be really mindful that the relationship is not about our projector ability to guide. It's about connection, which, truth be told, I think a lot of projectors may have some wounds around that, because a lot of times in life we were conditioned to be the helper or the guide, and that's how we are in relationship.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful point you make at the end there. Relationships for projectors, you know, whether both projectors or just one, it's not always a personal development growth strategy session. You know, everything has to have a purpose, or I see how to guide the energy, and that's what's, but projectors are here to play, and you mentioned connection, and projectors are here to have a vision, a mission, a purpose, to guide people. But ideally, the relationship is not in the same energy of that all the time. You know, ideally there is play, there is connection. there is deep relaxation because projectors, we're here. We have a bit more of a feminine essence. You know, go spend an hour in nature and sync up to your own rhythm. Nature really helps that for a projector. We can absorb through our sacral center, absorb through our aura. So allowing the container of your relationship to be a little lighter at times, you know, a little more playful, more joyful. Sometimes not everything has to have a purpose, has to have a meaning, has to move in some direction. We don't need to always see how to improve things all the time. So I think that's a really good point you make at the end there that I think will help a lot of projectors, just waking up every day going like, okay, if I'm in a relationship, how can I bring a little more play into the relationship? How can I bring a little more connection?
Mm-hmm.
Not for any purpose. I want this, so then this happens afterwards. Just like, how can we as projectors be in the moment? Because it's when we're in the moment that true magic comes through, true ideas, inspiration, gifts. But you don't do it for that reason. But that they are gifts that do arrive in the present moment where we can slow down and receive. And that's happened to me so many times. For example, the projector movement was birthed through a dream when I was literally open, relaxed in Bali, spacious. It's not because I was working so hard trying to figure it out. I want to make this thing on it. It's when we can relax, open up. And if you can get someone to do that with, yeah, it's more enjoyable.
Totally. The final little pieces I would just add are, number one, that if the projector communicates to their counterpart, the generator, the manifestor, or the project, even another projector, a couple things that are important for them to know, that your other projector or your other counterpart knows that you want to be seen deeply as well, and that words of affirmation or acknowledgement really are important for you.
Did I say how incredibly beautiful you are?
Aww, see?
You are just radiating.
Thank you.
You know I was going to say that anyway, but then you just teed that one up for me beautifully.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
But that is important.
Yeah. Thank you. Also, projectors, important for your partner to know and communicate that you have a different energy bandwidth, and that at times when you're at social events or their desire to go out the weekend, that you might not be able to do all of that, and that you too don't guilt your partner to needing to stay home with you, that you actually encourage your partner that may have more energy to do these things. And you have also communicated that, oh, maybe I'll go with you for an hour, but I might need to leave. And that maybe you are able to communicate, not maybe, you should communicate if you can, that you are going to need more time alone. You know, so maybe it's sleeping in a separate room sometimes, or you take yourself on a weekend away or a day trip to nature, that will build the relationship to be stronger. You will be a better human in that relationship when you prioritize taking care of those projector needs.
Beautiful. And we have some specific examples, you know, when we're in Australia, you know, going to see my family, or when, you know, we're here seeing your family, which is now for my family, you know, at times we'll take separate cars, or at times we'll just understand, oh, like this person's feeling a little less, they might leave a little earlier. Or there's been times where, you know, you've said, I can't make it this time around. Or I've been like, you know, I'll actually sit this one out.
Totally.
It's just having that understanding as well, that the projector energy, you know, goes up and goes down. And if there's good communication and openness, and both parties are willing to receive each other, projectors do have a decent amount of needs, you know, and it's okay as you're starting to embody them more, to express them, to feel them. Maybe they need to be filled up a little more because they've been so lacking for so long. And then, you know, things balance out as well. But I think multiple things that we shared are super valuable, mm-hmm. if you can take that into your life day to day, into your relationship. And maybe the coyote is, you know, on your path as well. November is coming up, and seems to be the coyote month.
Well, we started this call with you commenting on my hat without knowing, Mr. Coyote, that your hat is hanging right above you.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I better put it on.
You better see it. Let's see it. Oh, yeah. There we go. Looking good.
I don't wear this much, so I don't know how to fully.
Looks good, babe.
There we go.
So, okay, as we're wrapping up, I guess we'll leave it for the audience to decide, too. I'm curious. How would you say who met who? Who invited who? That's what everyone always wants to know.
Who invited who? That is.
How did this work out? Yeah, what's the conclusion? The coyote.
Maybe the coyote invited us both.
The coyote, life, magic, the invisible world.
But let us know. Let us know.
Love to know.
Many blessings to everyone.
Thank you for listening.
Sarah, thank you for showing up in such a magical way and sharing yourself as always. And thank you, projectors, for coming along on the journey. And we hope to bring you many more magical moments in the future.
Take care.
Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you felt the magic. If you're not already part of our community over on Instagram, come and join us at Projector Movement. We also have some incredible offerings that will serve as a guide in your life and will ignite your projector spirit over on our website, projectormovement.com. Until next time, remember who you are. Remember who you are.